You've talked in the past about how much you enjoy doing the study for your biographical message at the annual Pastors Conference. And this year, you're going to do it on your own father, William Piper. Tell us a little bit about what it was like to be Bill Piper's son and what you remember about him as a man, as a minister, as a father.
First, number one, that he was an incredibly intense preacher of the gospel with a strong evangelistic bent, because he was an evangelist. He wasn't a pastor. He was never a pastor. For 50-plus years, he served in itinerant evangelism, which means he was trying to rescue people from perishing all the time, which meant there was the smell of hell singeing the garments of my father's clothing all the time, and the aroma of heaven beckoning him on, so that there was this amazing combination of blazing-eyed intensity as he preached with high levels of joy and praise and exultation over the hope that he has in Jesus Christ. So my father seems to me to be one of the most intense people I've ever known when he was in the pulpit, and perhaps the happiest person I've ever known when he was at the dinner table. And I never thought that those were in conflict, and they always struck me as the way one ought to be. A Christian has to be realistic. The world is in a horrible state, and eternity is looming very close with hell or heaven, and we must be serious and we must be intense. And yet, on the other hand, Christ has come to redeem the world. He's rescued us. How can we not serve the Lord with gladness and rejoice always? And my father seemed to combine those in a remarkable way. He was a lover of humor, and nobody laughed more than my father laughed. If he told a joke, he would always laugh most as his own joke. And so whether you thought the joke was funny or not, you were just drawn in by his belly laughter. So that was huge. Practically speaking, what I remember is he left home a lot. He would leave home on Monday. We'd take him to the airport. If it was in the afternoon, I was home from school. And he would get home the following Monday, or he would leave on Saturday and get home on Monday. And sometimes he'd be gone for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And so the whole rhythm of our life was built around my father's comings and goings. And I have never, ever felt any resentment about my father traveling so much, because it was in such a glorious cause. I mean, it wasn't like his business. It was like our life. This is what we lived for. We lived for the gospel as a family. My mother knew what she had gotten into. It wasn't easy for her to be without her husband all that time, maybe, you know, 2/3 of the year. So as a family, we were in it together. Daddy's leaving was our part in the gospel spreading. And when he came home, he would come home with these great stories about people that had come to Christ, people that had been prayed for 25 years, and they were broke in the last day of the crusade, and they walked with tears to the front. And we would hear these glorious stories of salvation. And how could we not support that? How could we not be thrilled that we had any part in that at all? And he did little things like this. My sister had a spoon collection, and I had a coin collection. And so while he's gone, he's always thinking, got to find a spoon for Beverly and find some coins for Johnny. And he'd come home, and she'd be eager to see her new spoon, and I'd be eager to see what circles in our little blue books can we fill with these Indian head coins or buffalo head nickels or whatever. And Daddy, traveling everywhere, was able to find some pretty unusual coins. And so little things like that made his going and coming poignant and special.
Now, you knew this day was coming. Has it changed anything in the urgency of your ministry, the way you write, the way you preached?
I haven't felt it that way. Here's what has felt. I feel now like I'm the patriarch in the Piper family. Mm. That feels like a burden, a good one. It feels like I have taken that mantle. I was happy to let him keep that. I wouldn't have wanted it from him. And when God said, Bill, time for you to come home, that mantle fell to me. So now there's no great-grandfather anymore. There's only grandfather. And And that feels like a wonderful opportunity for me to love my grandchildren, love my kids. And mainly, I experience it daily in terms of prayer. I name before God every day all my children and all my grandchildren the way Job did. You know, Job got up, and every morning it said he sacrificed for his children if perchance they had sinned. Well, I'm thinking mainly in terms of preemptive sinning. I'm trying to keep them from sinning. And so I feel like there's a prayer cover that I owe this clan, this Piper clan, that my dad once filled. Here's a little story. One time, Sam Storms, good brother, wrote me and said, John, I felt led to make a commitment at a conference to pray for you every day the rest of my life. Well, I just couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that. So I wrote in the Star article the next week, this is our newsletter, I said, I've never had anybody make that commitment to me before. That was a bad mistake. I got a letter from my dad the next week. This was probably 10 years ago. I got a letter from my dad. He said, Johnny, before you were born, I made the pledge to pray for you every day of my life, and I haven't failed. I felt awful. I felt awful. I called him up on the phone and said, Daddy, I knew that. I knew that. I don't know why I said what I said. So now there are at least two people in the world. So that's the kind of commitment that I had. So that prayer cover now as the patriarch is gone. I don't have that anymore. I am that. And I just want to be as faithful as he was to name the all my children and my wife and all my daughters-in-law and all my grandchildren, just intercede for them every day, cover them with that prayer.